Well, you can turn over to Hebrews chapter 13. Amen. Hebrews chapter number 13. I've been preaching to you a little while here in Hebrews chapter number 13. I began a little short series of messages a few months ago. And right here in this chapter. And we're about to wind it up. For those of you that are wondering, it's just about over. And the reason why is because we're all the way down to verse number 22. Amen. And you know I already covered verse 23 and already covered verse 24 in previous messages. So we have to be getting close to the end. And I've entitled this series of messages, Help for the Hebrews. And the reason why is because these are believers who needed help in their lives. As a matter of fact, as they were living out the new life that they received in Christ, it was very difficult, and they were going through different difficult hardships and persecutions and problems in their life. As a matter of fact, when you read through the book, you'll begin to catch a glimpse of that. As chapter number 10, he talks about all the afflictions that they're experiencing, enduring, and all the things that they're going through as they're journeying through this life that they're living for Christ. They met the Lord, and they were saved out of a background of Judaism. That's why this is entitled to the book of Hebrews. It's written to those who are from a Hebrew background. As a result of their conversion to Christ, they were being persecuted. As a result of their conversion to Christ, some of their families have abandoned them. Their wives have left them. Their children have disowned them. Their parents won't have anything to do with them. Some of them have lost their jobs. They've had their income stripped from them. Chapter number 10 tells us that just being connected with God's people automatically in their culture meant for them that they had become like a gazing stock. They were being laughed at. They were being persecuted, and their finances were in ruins. And so there had to be a temptation, at least sometimes, for them, a little bit of discouragement to turn back, to look back, to think what it was like before I turned to Christ, what it was like whenever I was still accepted within the circles of Judaism, by my family, and still had the job that I had. And maybe some of them might be tempted to turn back and to look back. And chapter 10, verse 25 indicates to us that there may have been a few of them already who had stopped assembling with the believers when the believers assembled because of the persecution that came with that connection when you were connected to the believers. And so some of them had already begun to pull back a little bit. It's kind of like in our day, isn't it? And people begin to pull back. Most of the time it's not in our culture because of persecution, but it's simply because of our love for wealth and worldly things that we begin to kind of pull back and not maybe assemble with the believers like we used to and like we once did right after we got saved. They were doing that as well. And so we find that the writer writes to them this letter encouraging them to live for God and be what God wants them to be, and to continue following Christ and never turn back, never go back, never even look back. But it's worth it. That is, everything that they have lost in their past life, what they have in Christ far outweighs that. That Jesus is greater than everything they ever experienced within Judaism. And you'll see that all through the letter. And then you get down to this last chapter and he encourages them to continue on. In chapter number 12, he tells them to pick up those hands that are hanging down and to strengthen those feeble knees. A picture of a runner that's just about to the point of quitting. And he's saying you need to get back in the race and keep on running and never quit and never stop. And here in chapter number 13, he tells them that they have some help to do that. That is, in verse number 6, which may be the key verse, he says, "The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." In other words, I'm not going to be afraid, or I'm not going to be paralyzed by the reaction of other people within my family or within the Jewish culture that I was saved out of. Those who are persecuting them, those who are at enmity against them because of Christ, I'm not going to be afraid of them, and I'm going to continue to live for Christ no matter what. And the reason why is because I have a helper. Somebody to help me, and obviously the Lord is our helper. Did you know, ladies and gentlemen, that it's possible that no matter what your circumstances are, and no matter what they may be in the future, that you can live out the new life that you have in Christ and never quit and never give up, never turn back, never even look back. And the reason why is because you have somebody who will and can indeed help you to live out that new life and continue to live out the new life no matter what your circumstances are, and it is the Lord. Now, there are some particular things in this chapter that we've discovered already, and I included them on the outline in front of you just so you'll know how we got to where we are. How is it that the Lord is our helper? Well, He helps us in a lot of different areas of our lives. And that is like, for example, the satisfaction of our lives. When you have Jesus as Lord of your life, you can be satisfied. You don't have to be covetous, but you can experience contentment with what the will of God has provided you. You can have a heart that is fully satisfied when Jesus is the Lord of your life. Not only does He help us with the satisfaction of our lives, but He has helped us by placing some shepherds into our lives. That is, God has called and equipped men of God to be able to teach us the Word of God and to be able to lead us into the will of God. And the Bible tells us that we ought to follow their faith and we ought to submit to their leadership. And if you will, it will help you. Not only that, but there's the Savior over our lives, the Lord Jesus. And that is, we got to keep our focus on Him. Listen, if you'll learn who He is, some of you here, and the reason why you look back is because you don't understand who Jesus really is. If you'll get your focus on Him and follow Him and learn more about who He is, listen, you'll never want to ever look back if you ever see Him for who He really is, the Savior over our lives. And He explains that in verses 8 through 14. We dealt with the sacrifices from their lives. And that is that He's made it possible for these believers to offer sacrifices to God. And we discovered what those sacrifices are in verses 15 and 16. We dealt with the supplication through their lives. In verses 18 and 19 and verse 23, He invites them to pray for Him. And the reason why is because He knows if they're going to receive the help that God wants to give, then prayer, supplication, bringing our needs to God is essential. And we spent some time on that little section of Scripture discovering why it is that prayer will help us. We dealt also in the last services with the sanctification within their lives. We discovered in verses 20 and 21 that God is doing a work on the inside of them in their lives. He is working in them. And the Bible says He's working in them that which is well-pleasing in His sight. And we took verses 20 and 21 and we tried to unpack those verses and discover what is it, this work that God is doing on the inside of us, this work that is well-pleasing in His sight. It is a work that is defined in other places with the word sanctification. God is purifying us. He's molding us into His holy people set apart for His glory. Listen, when God saved you, He began a work in you that He'll continue to do and He'll complete one of these days at the appearing of Jesus Christ, according to Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 6. And that work that He's doing in you since your conversion, listen to me, it will help you. Amen. God's work in you is for the purpose of helping you to be able to live out the new life and be everything that God wants you to be. And that brings us to verse number 22, where the focus is on the Scriptures to their lives. That is, we find here that the Bible tells us in verse number 22, it highlights for us this very letter, the letter to the Hebrews. There's a letter that is being sent to them. And we know this letter that is being sent to them is Scripture. Amen. And the reason why we know that is because it is automatically, we know because it is in our Bible. And that is that the early church leaders believed, and rightfully so, that this book was divinely inspired by the Spirit of God and that it is authoritative, that it is Scripture. And here's what he tells them in verse number 22. He says, I beseech you, brethren, suffer the word of exhortation, for I have written a letter unto you in few words. And the idea is this, and that is that this letter that the author has written to the Hebrews is relatively, if you measured according to the letters of that day, that it was a relatively short letter. And he says, and he begs them, he beseeches them, the Bible says here, to suffer this word of exhortation. And the idea of that phrase there, suffer this word of exhortation, the word suffer there means to allow it into their lives, to permit it. That is to bear, the idea is literally to bear with it. That is, it's a short letter. And so I'm begging you to sort of bear with or listen willingly to this letter. That's what he's saying to them. I want you to bear with it and listen willingly. Sometimes when I get done preaching, I realize I preach a long time. Some of you know that better than I do. And sometimes when I get done, especially for the crowd that braves Wednesday night Bible study, sometimes when I get done, I'll say something like this to those who are there. I'll say, thank you for being so patient, for listening so patiently. And the reason why is because I know that while my Bible study or while the message that I preach may be long compared to what you might be used to, it's really not that long, relatively speaking, when you think about it. I mean, when you think about sitting maybe in front of the television and watching programming for hours at a time, maybe a 45-minute or an hour message really wouldn't be considered all that long, relatively speaking. Amen. Or maybe when you think about maybe going to a ball game, and maybe by the time you get there and eat your hot dog and drink your Coke, and by the time you watch the ball game and get out of there, you spent several hours, maybe 45 minutes or an hour or maybe a little longer, relatively speaking, really isn't that long. And so when the author writes, he says, I know that I've written to you in a few words. That is, relatively speaking, this isn't really a long letter. But when you're reading through the letter or when you're listening to a sermon, you got to really pay attention, don't you? It's not like watching a ball game where you can watch the replay, even though you can listen to it again if you go online. But you have to listen carefully, and you've got to pay attention. That is, you kind of got to bear with this a little bit. And that's kind of the way it is when I'm preaching. That is, you got to kind of bear with it, and you kind of got to listen to all of it. That is, don't just start zoning out after a few minutes, or you're going to miss out on how this message all comes together in the end, or this series of messages when I get done with it. And that's the idea of the author here. He said, listen, I'm begging you to listen carefully to this very message of this letter that I've written to you in a few words. That is, I want you to have an ear to pay attention to what is being said. The opposite of that, the opposite of this idea is what we might find when Paul was writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 3, when he was talking about what it's going to be like in the last days. And he says in the last days that people are going to not, they will not endure sound doctrine. Remember that verse? They will not endure sound doctrine, but heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. In other words, they will not bear with or will not put up with or will not listen willingly to healthy Bible doctrine, healthy Bible teaching, but instead they want somebody to sort of tickle their ears. And the idea is I want to hear what I want to hear, what my flesh wants to hear, that sort of entertains my flesh and that I enjoy hearing. And so I want to hear what I want to hear. And if you'll tell me what I want to hear, I'll come and listen to you. Amen. Sure. If you'll tell me what my flesh wants to hear, I'll come and listen. But listen, for those who are preaching and teaching Bible doctrine, the Word of God as it's laid out for us, and don't water it down and don't spice it up, and when you do that, there are folks that just will not listen to that. That's the opposite of what he's talking about here when he says, I beseech you to suffer with. He says, I'm beseeching you not to do what that other crowd does who will not endure sound doctrine, but I want you to pay attention to it. I want you to listen to it. I want you to hear what it is that the Bible is saying in its context and understand what it means if it's applied appropriately to our lives. I want you to hear this book. I want you to listen to it. I want you to get a hold of it. In other words, he's saying to these believers, when your pastor stands up and reads this letter from me, I want you to be there. I want you to listen to this. I want you to hear this. I want you to grab a hold of this. I want you to apply it to your life. And listen, if you will, guess what? It'll help you. It'll help you. You'll find the help of God. That is, the Lord is our helper. You say, well, if the Lord is my helper, how's he going to help me? Listen to me now. He helps us through the pages of this book. That is, by the letter that he's writing to the Hebrews. And you and I still have that letter, and this letter will help us too, as well as all the other books of the Bible as well. It will help us. It'll help us, folks. We need to get a hold of this idea. That's what he's telling us here. Say, Pastor, I need help to live out this new life that I have in Christ. You got it right there in your lap or on your phone if you're using your app. It's either on your lap or in your app, but it's there somewhere. Amen. The Bible. The Scripture. It'll help you. Now, this emphasis on the Scripture is found throughout this letter. There's an emphasis on Scripture, on the Bible, on the Word of God found throughout this letter. Going all the way back to the first few verses of chapter 1, all the way now to the end here at chapter 13. There's an emphasis on the importance of the Word of God. The reason why is because this author knows that if these believers who are under such heavy persecution, who are enduring such difficult problems as they live out their new life, that if they're going to be able to continue to live for God and not turn back and not look back, then the Word of God is essential to them. There's an emphasis in the book of Hebrews on, first of all, on hearing the Scripture. That'd be my first point. There's an emphasis on the hearing of Scripture. You'll see that back in chapter number 1. Notice what it says in Hebrews 1 and the first three verses. It starts off this way, and that is God who at sundry times and in divers manners. That is God who at various times through in the past and in different ways that God in times past, He has spoken, folks. He spoke in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. That is the ancestors of these people, the Jewish ancestors. God spoke to them. And God spoke to them by the prophets. That is those men of God in the Old Testament that you and I read about. The prophets of God. God spoke by them and God spoke through them. And the same God who spoke in the past by the prophets, verse 2, has in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, and by whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. And I got to find a stopping place, so I'll stop right there. It just goes on and on and on. Here's what He's saying. You know what God did? God spoke in the past, that is to your ancestors, through the prophets, but God has given us a much greater and fuller revelation than even what they had in the Old Testament, because God has spoken to us by His own Son. God sent His Son into the world and God has revealed Himself to us. He is the express image of the person of God. That is, He is exactly like the Father in His essential essence. That is, He is God just like the Father is God and just like the Spirit is God. He is God, the express image of His person. He's the one, ladies and gentlemen, He is the brightness of His glory. He is the express image of His person. He is the one upholding all things by the word of His own power. And He is the one who purged our sin. He is the one who sat down at the right hand of God, and God spoke through Him to me and to you. Listen to me now. That tells me that I ought to listen to what He has to say. Amen. I ought to listen to Him. There are some people when they speak, you listen, don't you? Sure. Maybe some of you are kind of into politics a little bit and listen when the president or some other politician begins to speak. Man, you want to hear what they have to say. Because, I mean, after all, that's who they are. It may be that you're a real sports kind of person and so you like to watch the sports channels and there's just certain people that if they're going to do an interview, man, you want to hear what they have to say. There are coaches that you want to hear what that coach has to say. You want to hear what they're saying because of your respect for them. Some of you may be into the movie industry, and I tell you, you've been watching all the red carpet, you know, the last few days, and you've just been hoping that maybe your favorite movie star, or actor, or actress will say something. I mean, you want to hear what they have to say. Some of you kind of into church and there are certain preachers you like. And some you don't, some you do. And so when those ones that you like, whenever they begin to speak or they're going to preach or they're going to be on the TV or the radio, whatever it might be, I mean, you want to hear what they have to say. But listen to me now, none of those people, whether it be somebody in the sports industry or whether it be somebody who stands behind a pulpit somewhere or whether it be somebody who rides a horse or somebody who coaches a team, none of those people are the express image of His person. And none of them are the brightness of His glory. And none of them has purged our sins and is forever seated at the right hand of the throne of God. But Jesus is, and God has spoken through Him. Listen, you and I ought to listen. We ought to hear what He has to say. Y'all don't want to hear Him. I remember when Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration and Peter, James, and John were up there and one gospel writer tells us that they were up there with Him on the mountain and they fell asleep. These guys had a problem with that. They did it in the Garden of Gethsemane as well. And they get tired. They just sit down and go to sleep like some of you maybe. And they sat down, they went to sleep, and when they woke up, the Lord was transfigured before them. The brightness of His glory was shining through His humanity. And the Bible says that there was a couple of visitors from heaven that came and began to speak to the Lord about His coming death on the cross, and Peter finally had to speak up and say something. He's just that kind of a guy, and said, Lord, why don't we just build us some tabernacles here, three of them, and we can kind of hang out here for a little while. I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but that's what we'll do. And all of a sudden, Peter, his speech got interrupted by a glory cloud that came down and surrounded that mountain, and all of a sudden, out of that glory cloud, a voice spoke. It was the voice of God that said, this is My beloved Son, hear ye Him. Amen. Now, if He had been Peter, you would have gotten the idea. I don't know if he did or not, but you would have gotten the idea it was time to be quiet and listen. Amen. Oh, listen. You ought to listen to what Jesus had to say. Amen. That's right. You ought to be, listen, above everybody else. You ought to want to hear him. And that's sort of the emphasis here. I tell you that if an angel showed up and began to speak, the crowd would be massive to come and hear an angel speak. But the Bible tells us in this book that Jesus is greater than even the angels in the next few verses. You ought to want to hear what he says. You say, well, Pastor, if the Lord showed up, I guess we'd have a big crowd and we would be here. If the Lord spoke, if the Lord showed up and began to speak, we would want to hear. But listen to me now. He has spoken. And God has so structured things so that the record of what he has said has been preserved for us. Jesus met with these disciples in the upper room in John 14. And as he was meeting with them, right before he was going to be arrested and crucified, he began to tell them about the coming of the Holy Spirit. And he told them, you know what? The Holy Spirit is going to come. And he's going to live on the inside of you. The one that's been with you is going to actually live on the inside of you. And when he comes, that is when the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to remind you of everything that I have said. And do you know that because of what the Holy Spirit did after he came on the day of Pentecost, because he moved in the hearts and lives of these men and reminded them of what Jesus said, that you and I have the Gospels, the first four books of the New Testament? And then he told them when the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to guide you into all truth. He's going to open up your understanding and help you to understand the meaning and the significance of what I have said. And as a result of that work of the Spirit, you and I have the epistles, the letters of the New Testament, one of which we're looking at right now. And then he said in another place, he said, when the Holy Spirit has come, he will show you things to come. And as a result of that, we have the last book of the New Testament, and that is the book of Revelation. The reason why I'm telling you that is so that you'll understand that this book is not like any other religious book. It is a book that is given to us, divinely inspired by the Spirit of God. God the Holy Spirit moved upon the Old Testament prophets, and you and I have the Old Testament. And God began to move on the apostles and the leaders of the New Testament, and you and I have the New Testament. This is a book that is divinely inspired, the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, given by inspiration of God, which means that it is the divine breath that God breathed out, and here is what God breathed out. Now listen to me now, if God breathed it out, you ought to breathe it in, amen? And you ought to take it in, what God breathed out, you ought to go ahead and breathe it. I'm talking about this book. You said, I don't understand what you mean. The Bible is going to help me because this is the record of what God has said. You ought to hear what this book has to say. You ought to want to hear this book more than you'd want to hear what the president has to say. And all the Democrats said, you don't have to admit it. You don't have to say it. Listen, you ought to want to hear this book more than you want to hear what that favorite sports star says, what that coach says. And the reason why is because this is the divinely inspired record and the only divinely inspired record of what God has said, what he said in the Old Testament through the prophets. We know what he said because we have it right here in this book. And listen, it is also a record of everything that, of what Jesus said and what was explained by the apostles and what is to come. It is right here in this book. You ought to want to hear this book. That's right. Because of what it is. We need to hear the scriptures. Like what James said in James 1:19, it's a word of admonition for me, I'll tell you. In James chapter 1, verse number 19, listen to this verse. The Bible says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, slow to speak, slow to get angry, but quick to hear what God is saying. Now, a lot of folks are the opposite of that. A lot of folks do so much talking, they can't listen. Right? My dad used to say about people who talk a lot, they like to talk just to hear their head rattle. You know folks like that? Listen to me. If that's kind of you, then why don't you just be quiet and listen? You know, folks are quick to get mad, aren't they? Do you know the reason why that there are a lot of people sitting at home today and not hearing the Word of God being preached? Because he got mad about something. Well, it could have been anything. It could be the length of the sermon. It could be the story that was told. It could be the person that didn't shake their hand. Right? It could be the temperature was a little too hot or a little too cold. It could be anything. that somebody would get mad about and say, I'm not going to go to church. I'm not going to hear the Word of God anymore. What I'm trying to get you to see is this, is the Bible emphasizes for us the importance of hearing the Word of God. Did you know Romans chapter number 10, the Bible says this, it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen? But how are they going to call on Him and believe on Him in whom they've not heard?
Right.
Yeah, how are you going to believe if you haven't heard?
Right.
And how are they going to hear without a preacher? And that's the reason why the Bible says how beautiful are the feet of those that bring the good news, the glad tidings, who bring the gospel. And so the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. In Romans 10, there's an emphasis in Romans chapter number 10 on the importance of hearing the Word of God. Hearing the Word. It's important for us as well. Here in the book of Hebrews in chapter number 5, you'll see this emphasis brought out again. Notice if you would in Hebrews chapter number 5. Verse 11. The apostle writes and he says that he has many things to say, of whom we have many things to say. He's been talking about the high priestly ministry of Christ being like that of Melchizedek in the Old Testament. And he says that I've got a lot of things to say about him, but hard to be uttered. He said, seeing you are dull of hearing. You see it there? He said, I got a lot I need to say to you, but I'm having a hard time doing it. It's hard for me to say. And the reason why it's hard for me to say is because of the fact that you're hard hearing. That is, you're not hearing what it is that I'm saying. You're not listening very well. It's hard to talk to someone who's not hearing very well, isn't it? Somebody who is dull of hearing. Maybe you know somebody like that. Maybe you know somebody who is hard hearing. That is, they have difficulty hearing, or maybe somebody who may not be able to hear at all. And so as a result of that, when you're talking with them, you got to talk slowly. You can't talk fast like I am. You got to talk slowly. You got to talk loudly. They want to be able to see your lips and kind of read them as they're trying to listen to what it is that you're trying to say. Somebody who's dull of hearing is describing somebody who's not really listening and not able to hear or internalize what it is that is being spoken. That is, they're not processing what it is that is being said. Like somebody who's deaf, they can see your lips moving and they maybe can hear the noise, but they're not able to process what it is that is being said. And as a result of that, there's a lack of interest and eagerness to hear and understand. And that's what it's talking about. Those who are dull of hearing are those, listen to me now, who have a lack of interest and a lack of eagerness to hear and understand the Word of God, and therefore they're not listening. If you was to not listen to what is being said, for example, here in this service today, it's because you may not be interested in it. I remember those days, don't you? Before I got saved, I went to church and I really kind of tuned it out. I knew something was being said. I was not deaf, but I was dull of hearing. I wasn't listening because I wasn't interested. Now, as soon as church was over, whenever the other boys and the other teenage boys, as soon as they said, hey, we're going to so-and-so, we're going to Ronnie's house, we're going to play football this afternoon, now I was listening and I was hearing. They said what time, and I knew what time because I wanted to go and play football in the backyard at Ronnie's house. I wanted to go there and play with the other guys from church, and that's what we did. I was interested then and listening then. And the reason why is because I had an eagerness and interest in what was being said. Those who are dull of hearing are those who are not listening, and the reason why is because they are not interested. And as a result of this dullness, here we find in the verses that we're looking at, these folks were not growing. Verse number 12 says, for when the time ought to be, that you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become as have a need of milk and not of strong meat. In other words, here's what he's saying. As a result of the fact that you're not listening very well, because you don't have an interest in the Word of God, because of that you're not growing. And listen, you've been saved long enough that you ought to be a teacher of the Word. You ought to know the Word of God. Listen, by now, in the length of time you've been a Christian, you ought to know the Word of God well enough, you ought to be able to teach it to other people. But you can't. Instead, people are having to come back and teach you the very basics, the very basic things about God and about the Bible. And the reason why is because you haven't been listening. It's not because you haven't been taught. It's not because your Sunday school teacher didn't explain it to you. It wasn't because of the fact that you weren't in the service where that passage was dealt with. It's not that. It's just that you weren't listening or paying attention or listening careful to what was being said. And so for that reason, instead of teaching, you're having to have somebody come back and explain to you over again what has already been said. It's like a little child that's still on the milk when they ought to be eating meat. In other words, as children, when they come into the world, they have pretty much just a milk diet. But there comes that point in their life whenever they get to graduate up, maybe to some baby food or maybe some of that little baby cereal, and then eventually after a little while, they're eating meat. Just like most of you that are here eat meat, they eat meat. But listen to me now, a little child that never grows and never graduates up is a little child that's still on milk and not on the meat. And he said, that's the way you are. He said, listen, I'm having to give you the milk, the basics, and not able to give you the meat of the word that I want to explain to you about the high priestly ministry of Christ. And the reason why is because you've been so dull of hearing. You haven't been listening. You haven't been hearing. And that's why you're not growing. Becoming what God wants you to be. I'm trying to get you to see there's a real strong emphasis here in the book of Hebrews on hearing the word of God. Those who will not hear the word will not be saved, because faith comes by hearing by the word of God, and will be lost for all eternity. And those who are saved and become dull of hearing will not grow. And what a tragedy that would be for you not to grow. You say, well, Pastor, I don't think it's really all that big of a deal, is it? Well, I think it would be a big deal, don't you? Wouldn't you think it'd be a big deal if we had a teenager who was here? We have some teenagers who are here that don't eat table food. They still suck milk out of a bottle. I would think that would be a little odd, wouldn't you? Some of you boys are saying, pass the meat, right? Yeah. I mean, when you go out, and y'all don't have to respond to me, but think about it for a minute. Some of you boys, listen, whenever you go out to the restaurant, is that what you order, is a bottle of milk? No. You get the biggest burger on the menu. Two of them. Yeah. Yeah, and Diet Coke to go with it, sure. Absolutely. Because you know how to eat meat. Do you know it's really strange for somebody who's been saved for very long, who can't take the book, the Word of God, and at least explain the basic elements of the Word of God to somebody else? That's strange and odd. And the reason why it's true is because of this lack of hearing the Word of God. If you want God to help you, you know what you got to do? You got to start listening to this book. Hearing the word of God. There's an emphasis on hearing the word. There's also an emphasis here on heeding the word. Look over in chapter number 2 of the book of Hebrews, and I'll help you to see this. And we'll try to find a place to stop here in a little while. Notice in verse number 2, chapter number 2, verse number 1, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time that we should let them slip. Do you see it there? In other words, here's what he's saying. He's saying, listen, you've heard the word, those things that you've heard. Now you need to heed them. Not only do we need to hear the word, but we need to heed the word. Otherwise, we might let them slip. You say, Pastor, what in the world is he talking about here? Well, to heed the word means to pay careful attention to it for the purpose of knowing it and doing the will of God. I want to know this book. I want to hear what this book has to say so that I can apply it to my life, so I can internalize it, or so that I can know the will of God and do the will of God. The word slip is a picturesque word. In other words, it's a word that they tell us refers to an unanchored boat that's kind of drifting away. Some of you that have boats, maybe you've done that, and that is your boat drifted away. You didn't get it tied down, or you didn't have it anchored down, and it started to drift away. Those who hear the word of God, but let it drift away. Yeah. It's like I heard it, but I don't remember it. It's I heard it, but it's not doing anything in my life. It's not changing anything about me. It's not, listen, I go in and hear that preacher. He says, you know, he does some funny things. He's a quirky, short little guy, but, you know, kind of interesting at times, once in a while. But the word of God that we read in the scripture, the word of God that we hear being taught, Not really making an impact on our life. And it's like that it's there and then we just let it drift away. We let it slip away. We're not holding on to it, or we're not heeding it. We're not listening as carefully as what we used to. We're not hearing the word as often as we used to. You can always tell when the word is drifting away from you because you're not listening to it as often as you used to. Maybe there was a time in your life when you never thought about missing a church service, or maybe you never thought about going a day without reading your Bible, but now you do. And it's like just kind of this slow drift, the word just drifting away. And maybe you just don't listen like you used to. Used to, you hung on every word that was being said or being taught, but it's just not that way anymore. Or maybe you don't study the Bible as thoroughly as you once did. Maybe you took this book and you studied it and you looked at it. Maybe you're not teaching like you once were. And that is, you used to take this book, study it, spend time in it, and then tell other people about it and share with others. But it's not that way anymore. You don't remember it as well as you used to. You don't think about it as often as you used to. You're not telling others about it as you used to. You know what that means? The word is slipping away. It's drifting away. You see, those who heed the word are those who hear it and then hold on to it and don't let it slip away. There's a warning about this in chapter number 3 of this book in Hebrews 3. I want you to see it. The very next chapter is verse number 7. It says, "Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost said, today, if you will hear His voice." There it is. If you'll hear God, then harden not your hearts, as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness. He's talking about that experience in the wilderness. He said in verse number 9, "When your fathers tempted me, proved or tested me, and saw my works of those 40 years." Remember that experience in the wilderness, the Israelites? He said, "When I was grieved with that generation, I said they do always err in their hearts, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest." They didn't get to enter into the promised land. "Take heed therefore." Take heed therefore. They heard, but they did not heed, folks. So you take heed. You take heed. Don't just hear, but take heed. They heard, but they did not heed, and as a result, their hearts became hardened. You see, you really have a choice once you hear the word. It's either going to be heeding or hardening. One or the other. In other words, to hear the word over and over again and not heed it causes a hardening of the heart. Sin and the deceitfulness of sin steals away that word, and our hearts begin to be hardened, so that you could actually get to the point that your heart becomes so hardened that you could sit in a service, or you could sit in a Bible study, or be reading your Bible, the most powerful, awesome words you've ever heard spoken about the Lord Jesus Christ, and not even be moved by it, not even be touched by it, not even be impacted by it, and walk away the same. That is the picture of a hardened heart. And one of the reasons why is because sin has so corrupted us on the inside that our hearts become hard. And as we hear the word and do not heed, they become even harder. Those who will not hear the word, their hearts are hardened as a result of their sinful nature. And those who hear and will not heed, their hearts become hardened as well. Think about the Israelites. The illustration here is the Israelites. The children of Israel. Now listen, you're talking about a generation that heard the word of God. Boy, they heard it, didn't they? Wow. Man, they had a man of God among them named Moses. And Moses heard directly from heaven. And he spoke to them the word of God, and he led them out of Egypt, and they crossed over on dry ground. You know the reason why? That they knew to step out there in that riverbed and God parted the waters. You know the reason why they knew to do that? Is because the word of God came to a man named Moses, and he shared it with the people, said, "Here's what God has said." And he dried up that water, ladies and gentlemen. They got on the other side, and they got in a place where there wasn't any water good to drink, and Moses, the people got to complaining, and Moses Moses got to praying, and God said, the word of God came to him and said, there's a tree over here, throw it in the water and you'll be able to drink. And their lives were saved, ladies and gentlemen. And the reason why is because the word of God came to them. And then they got to Mount Sinai, and God showed up in the blackness and the smoke, and God thundered. And all of a sudden, here come Moses after days and weeks up there. And Mount Sinai, here he comes with the word of God. God has spoken. He's got the commandments. He's got the law. And he comes down with the word of God. If there's any generation that heard the word of God, it was this crowd. And then they get to Kadesh Barnea, and the Bible says they sent these spies into the land. And those 12 spies came back, and two of them, that is Joshua and Caleb, said, God said, the land is ours. Let's take the land. Let's move at once and take the land. But the other 10 spies said, I don't know about that. I mean, we're like grasshoppers in the sight of these great giants in the land, the well-fortified cities, and I just don't think that we can do it. Now, the word of God has already come. It's been present now for hundreds of years, beginning with Abraham, and this is the land, and God's going to give it to you. And Moses says, you're the generation. God delivered you out so he can bring you in. Let's go into the land of Canaan and take the land. They heard the word of God, but they would not heed. No. They wouldn't heed. They wouldn't believe. They wouldn't go into the land. God said, go into the land, and they wouldn't do it. They wouldn't trust God, wouldn't believe what God said. And as a result of that, the wrath of God came upon them, and they ended up in those 40 years of wilderness wanderings until all of them were dead. And they didn't get to go into that land of promise, that place of rest. You say, Pastor, do you mean, is that saying that you could be saved and if you don't live for God, you don't go to heaven? It's not saying that at all. But here's what it is saying. And that is, if you're saved and you will not hear and heed this word, you'll never live a life of victory over the enemy that God wants you to live. Well, listen. Your life that God intended to be will never be. You'll find your life to be wandering around in a wilderness until one day you finally die. And you missed out on everything God wanted your life to be. That's right. Heard, but would not heed. Now the next generation did, didn't they? Man, they did. Moses got them together after that 40 years. He got them all together. The book of Deuteronomy is that. They got them together and he said, listen, this is what happened. This is how God delivered us out of Egypt. This is the law that he gave us. This is what happened to your parents and your grandparents. That's the reason why they all died. And you all were just little tots, and some of you weren't even alive when all that happened. But now you're going to go into the land. And God took him off the scene and he put Joshua in his place. And ladies and gentlemen, these folks entered into the land of Canaan. They crossed over the Jordan River and God backed the waters up and let them cross over. They got to the city of Jericho. They marched around to those 7 days and the walls came down and the victory began. God began to give them victory over enemies. And God began to use them in great and mighty ways. Listen to me now. You say, Pastor, how did they do it? They had a helper, ladies and gentlemen. God was their helper. He brought the walls down. He gave them the victory. He gave them the land. He was their helper. And the reason why that he helped them is because they heard and they heeded the word of God. You say, I'd like for the Lord to help me. I need victory in my life. Listen to me. I'm telling you how to find it. There's somebody that can help you. And he'll help you through the word. Through this book. That's right. If you'll let him, if you'll hear, and if you'll heed. This letter is referred to here in Hebrews 13:22 as a word of exhortation. Now, I'll deal with that more in the service tonight, but here's what that means. That word exhortation is the word that means it'll come right alongside and help you. Same word as we get the word comfort from in the upper room, the comforter. And that is that we not only have the help of the Holy Spirit, but we have the help of the divine word. Listen to me. All the help you need is available to you if you'll hear it and if you'll heed it. The scripture that God has sent into our lives to help us. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you for your truth and for your word. And God, we thank you for this wonderful opportunity. It's ours to be able to just listen to it for a little while. God, I pray for your people, Lord, that are struggling, that God, you might help them, Father, to hear what you're trying to say. God, those who've hardened their hearts against the word of God, I pray that you begin to melt those hearts even today. Those, Father, who've been deceived by false teachers, who've heard a false message preached from the religious centers of our nation, that God, you, Father, will let them see the truth of your word, the person of Christ, his finished work, his exaltation to the right hand. Father, I pray, God, that you'd open our hearts to your truth today. Those that are lost, I pray, God, that you'd work on those hearts, draw those persons to yourself, bring them to the awareness of their lost condition, to the point that they are realizing that they need Jesus to come into their life, be the Lord of their life. They need the cross, the death, and resurrection. It's the only hope for them. Would you bring those individuals to the point of salvation today? And God, I pray for your people that you would give us a hunger for the Word of God, a love for the truth of Scripture. God, knowing the Father, that's your instrument, that's your means, the avenue through which you help us and grow us and teach us and develop us. Thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Let's stand together.